As Colton gets the lights, I have one announcement that I have decided to save for myself. Yesterday was my mother's 92nd birthday. Her party just did not fall into place, but it's not going to bother her. But we're going to have her birthday party here at the Annex on January the 18th. That's a Saturday. I can't remember if it's going to be come and go, but we'll get all of that information to you. But please try to clear your calendar if you can. January the 18th, that's a Saturday. If things work out well, we're going to have Chick-fil-A and all the trimming, so we certainly hope that everyone is able to attend. Rather than ask you to tell me if you are going, now, I don't know how is the best way. I'm going to say that probably 50 or so from the congregation will probably attend. I'll go ahead and say 60, but I think that will certainly get everyone there. Brethren, I thought long and hard about our lesson today. I thought about it long and hard for several reasons. First of all, I thought long and hard because this is the first lesson in 2020. But I also thought long and hard because the lesson today will probably or perhaps set the tone for the remainder of our lessons. And I think this is a very, very important lesson. I think it's very, very important for us to begin with this lesson, and we will amplify on this thought for the remainder of the year. You'll probably notice the text behind me is 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. I'm reading from the New King James. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us, now notice the wording here, and through us diffuses or spreads the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Doesn't that sound nice? And of course, other translations use the word victory instead of triumph. Brethren, I believe it was Tom Landry who said, victory comes from attitude, as long as your attitude is a winning attitude. Now, throughout the Bible, we're given all sorts of mental images about this Christian life that we're living. Maybe it's fighting battles. Maybe it's moving mountains. And probably the one that is the best known to us is running races. Christianity is just like running a race. You begin, you run, and it ends as our life in Christ also happens. So living in Christ is like running a race. But it's not a race like our young men and women run. 100-yard dash or the open quarter or maybe even the mile run. It's not really even a marathon as we know a marathon. It's the longest marathon ever known by humanity. It begins the day we give our life to Christ, and it carries us through all eternity. In fact, think of it this way. Every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up. And if you're not familiar with a gazelle, get with Kidron. He'll give you a 15-minute discourse on a gazelle. Every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up with the realization that if that gazelle doesn't run faster than the fastest lion, it's not going to survive. But also every morning in Africa, a lion wakes up with the realization that if that lion doesn't run faster than the slowest gazelle, it's not going to survive. The gazelle needs to run to survive. The lion needs to run to survive. And brethren, in this Christian race, we need to run. But not only to run to win, to run to finish, all of those are important. Because again, we're running in our life all the way up to eternity. the animals know they need to run. And we Christians need to know we need to run. And here is our application. If we're not seeking the Lord, the devil is seeking us. Therefore, we need to run. We need to run to win. We need to plan on finishing. It's not enough to just start a day. It's not just enough to wake up in the morning. We've got to wake up running. Now, our text came from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, but I want to read now from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? Easy to understand. But only one receives the prize. Don't let that verse, don't let that wording bother you. Everyone who runs, everyone who is the kind of person that runs, every Christian who runs is going to receive the prize. Therefore, run in such a way that you will receive the prize. How are we to run? We're to run to receive the prize. Or we could say we run with a winning attitude. Or we could say we run to finish. Or we could say we run to win. And regardless of the obstacle that is thrown in our way, we're going to run. We're going to finish. We're going to win. Now, a moment ago, I mentioned Tom Landry. Tom Landry, when he was with the coach of the Cowboys, was a great motivator. But when it comes to Christian motivation, I'll cast my lot with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is writing through one of the penmen in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, who are these witnesses? The faithful patriarchs he wrote about in the previous chapter. Since we're surrounded by the faithful witness of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those faithful children of God, since we have those to use as an example, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking to Jesus, looking to our Savior, the author and finisher of our faith. The Hebrew penman gives us some wonderful advice here. Let's use this advice in our study today. First of all, we must lay aside every weight. Let's say it this way. We must lay aside everything that slows us down in this race. You know, brethren, and maybe I'm only speaking for myself. It's so easy for me to look at others and either see a weakness or a shortcoming, or maybe conceive a weakness or a shortcoming. And maybe it's not that easy for me to see my own weaknesses and shortcomings. And that's what the Hebrew penman is talking about. As Christians, we need to be honest. We need to be brutally honest with ourselves. We need to realize that it's possible to do things that are wrong that's going to slow our progression in Christ. And Christ wants us ever moving, ever growing, ever maturing. Some of the things that are wrong, all of the things that are wrong in my life are slowing my Christian progression. I'm not living up to the standard Jesus gave me, and it's going to hurt my confidence in Him. To the point that I might be tempted to say, well, I'm not even going to try to mention this to my neighbor because I know they're going to say no. Or I'm not going to try to even mention Christ to my husband or to my children because I know they're going to say no. It hurts even our confidence. It makes us a loser instead of a winner. And God wants us to win. Notice this verse, Romans 6, 12 and following. Therefore, do not, and let's change it to anything. Do not let anything reign in our mortal bodies that we should obey those things. And do not present your life as an instrument of unrighteousness. Rather, give yourself to God. Isn't that what we're talking about? Giving ourselves to God, running to win, stripping away everything that's going to slow us down. The Hebrew penman also says in chapter 10 and verse 36, we have need of endurance so that after we've done the will of God, we may receive the promise. We may receive the promise. What is the promise? Everlasting life. The plan for the salvation of our souls was conceived in the mind and heart of deity even before the world created. God knew he was going to send his only begotten son, and Jesus knew he was going to be sent, and the Spirit knew as well. Therefore, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. He is the prize. I remember hearing one time an illustration. A tightrope walker was going to walk across Niagara Falls. I've never been there, but Linda says it's very loud, very blustering. And a reporter asked him a very sincere question. He said, how do you keep your concentration with all of the noise and all of the danger, death just below you? He said, every time I make a tightrope walk, I get my wife, who is the love of my life, to stand on the other platform. And when I'm walking across that tightrope, I keep my eyes on my wife. She is my prize. The Bible says salvation is our prize. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to run this race. We need to run to win. We need to run to finish. You know, if I knew I was going to run a marathon and be able to run only 200 or 300 yards, I would never start. We need to start and finish. We need to run to win. We need to run to receive that prize, to be victorious. That's what God wants for us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9, 25 and 26. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. That means in control. We need to run in control of all things. Therefore, we run not with uncertainty. And when we're fighting these battles, it's not like we're just taking the sword of the Spirit and beating the air. We have a plan to run to win, to run to finish, to run to receive the prize, which will last us for all eternity. Now let's turn to 1 John chapter 5, read a couple of verses here, and use this as we begin our conclusion. 1 John 5, 3 and following. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. I like the King James word. They're not grievous. They're not difficult. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that's overcome the world. Our faith. What's the victory that overcomes the world? Our faith. I'm so glad that Barry led that song today. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. You see, God wants us to win. God wants us to be victorious. Winning not so we can develop an air of arrogance, but winning so the rest of our lives we can show our gratitude to Almighty God. And then 1 John 4, verse 4, we are of God and we have overcome the world. Have you ever noticed this verse? For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. First of all, who's in the world? Well, worldliness, sin, the devil. And greater than worldliness, greater than sin, greater than the devil is he that is in us. Who is in us? It's the Spirit of God. It's a knowledge of God's word. It is application of God's truth in our life. We need to appreciate that. Now, Lord willing, we're going to continue this line of thinking throughout 2020, or at least for that time. But I want to conclude with one of my favorite passages. It was also one of the favorite passages of one of our members who has passed on. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 58. In fact, I'm going to begin with verse 50. You're going to need to turn to it in your own Bibles or on your own device. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 50. Brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. This is a hidden truth. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this human body, will put on incorruption, a spiritual body. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, or grave, where is your victory? And now we're down to verse 57. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our running is not in vain in the Lord, because we're going to win, we're going to finish. Now, as we begin the new year, let's take inventory. Brethren, what areas, and I'll speak for myself, you ask yourself, in what areas of my life do I need to be strengthened so that I am really what Jesus wants me to be? Am I growing as the Lord wants me to grow? Am I becoming what he wants me to become? Am I acting like a true son or a true daughter of Almighty God? Am I putting my relationship with him and with his family above all other relationships? Am I living the kind of life that true fellowship with God and one another is there, or am I simply existing? Am I living it, or am I simply existing? Am I growing in the knowledge of God? Am I applying his truth to my life? Am I living an example for Christ that others might see what I'm doing, what we're doing, and glorify our Father which is in heaven? Am I daily fighting the good fight? Am I daily keeping the faith? Am I planning and living my life so I can finish the course set before me? Are we working to see Jesus in eternity? Or are we just hoping to see Jesus in eternity? These are some of the questions we will answer in 2020 and hopefully even beyond. But perhaps you already know the answer. Perhaps you're already ready to give yourself to the Lord. Paul tells the Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, to make your life a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice that is acceptable. That's our reasonable service. That's our spiritual service. Perhaps you've heard the truth at some other time about salvation, and you know that faith comes by hearing, and now you're ready to acknowledge Jesus, as did Peter, as did the Ethiopian nobleman who said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm ready to turn away from my sins. Jesus said, unless we repent, we'll all likewise perish. And we're ready to start. I almost said start over, but it's to start, to be baptized of the water and of the Spirit. I'll become a new creature in Christ, and I will live that faithful life for the rest of my life. Or maybe you've done all of that, and you realize that some of those things we talked about earlier are cramping our Christian style. They're keeping us from being what God really wants us to be. And maybe we need prayers. Maybe we've done something that we need prayers for. Maybe is all I can say, but you can make a definitive answer. and if you need to respond, won't you do so as we stand together and as we sing.